Blog Talk Radio.
Fist up for the one that got away. When we left for dead, you're the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, on drugs in your land, guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, come and tell, bro. Don't he open any letters, hit this with a come and tell, bro. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Been around waiting for the shit to change. Your point fingers not at, just complain. Started in fight, just to strip the blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence need to be the only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. See this mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a status. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a status. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a status. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a status. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Nobody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on the phone with the hate. Chase the Panthers out of state. Whoa, run, go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spare propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton in the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with it. CIA did everything they could to brotherhoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines, but I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you. No conform to authority, cause under uniforms, human bonds that bleed to.
No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray?
I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna start
and
touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way plays whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way plays whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
We're putting
our show together. We're polishing up our accent. If you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Ooh, 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 Snow. We want to welcome you to Black Power Radio for yet another episode of Black Power Radio. We're in the beautiful city of Washington, D.C. I'm one of your hosts, the Sheikh Imam Akbar Abdullah Kareem, and tonight we have our sister live, and we're going to talk some Black August tonight, and that's simply because we are the cubs of the most honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and it's probably one of the few places you can find some Black August talk tonight. And that's simply because we give you more of what you actually listen to Black Talk Radio for. And we're putting it right where the ghosts can get it tonight, right on the front line. And we're going live in Washington, D.C. And we go in the name of the Almighty God, the most beneficent, the most merciful benefactor, the most merciful redeemer. Praise be to the Allah, the guardian, the evolver, the cherisher and the sustainer of all of the worlds. And with that said, we want to bring your host live. I mean, there's nothing Memorex here on Black Power Radio. We want to present our host for Black Panther Women's Radio, the dynamic, Ms. Sparkle Robinson in Washington, D.C. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, hello and good evening. This is Sister Robinson, your revolutionary visionary. And tonight's topic, what we're going to talk about is Black August. What exactly is Black August? Black August is a big deal, and I don't see enough of it when I'm on Facebook, or I don't hear enough of it in conversation. So I took it upon myself to actually bring it on the show tonight, so that people can understand the contributions that our fallen soldiers have made, our freedom fighters have made, past and present, alive and still imprisoned, and some that are not imprisoned. This is not a holiday or anything. This is actually, Black August is a commemorative month. It's the time that we celebrate our soldiers, as I said, who are fallen freedom fighters in this revolution. We actually use this time to condemn oppression in our prison systems and all over the African diaspora. And it's also a time to study, fast, train, exercise, and fight. Those are ways that we do celebrate Black August. It's time to get in the books and find out the things and the contributions that have been made by these people, these very special martyrs who came before us. Now, there are two different acronyms that you need to be familiar with. The first one is BAM, capital B-A-M, and this stands for Black August Memorial. Now, this is strictly for the martyrs that were assassinated freedom fighters. Now, if you can remember these eight brothers, comrades before us, we have Brother Comrade Golden, Jeffrey Golden, George Jackson, W.L. Nolan, William Christmas, James McLean, Alvin Miller, Cleveland Edwards, and Jonathan Jackson, who was George Jackson's brother. And we're quite familiar with the Jacksons. But then we have another acronym that you need to be familiar with as well, and that is BAR, capital B-A-R, and that stands for Black August Resistance. Now, Black August Resistance is your political prisoners now of African descent who are incarcerated, like our beloved brother Biko, Ozone, our brother Jamal, who is in prison on trumped-up charges. But it also stands for the time when resistance started, and resistance started when we were imported to this country. They didn't come over to Africa and pick up slaves or anything like that. We're imports. They picked up farmers and herbalists and carpenters and midwives and things of that nature. It was also a time that you can think of others like Harriet Tubman and David Walker. So August is a month of a lot of history for the political prison fight, getting a little tongue twisted here. So we know that it's an ongoing struggle for liberation, and it's an ongoing struggle for liberation from some of our most seasoned revolutionaries are behind the wall. Some of our most seasoned revolutionaries are behind the wall. They are not just revolutionaries. They are authors. They are mentors. I know I have a mentor that's a revolutionary that is behind the wall. And they are very, very solid when it comes to fighting for the struggle, even though they're behind the wall. So it makes me wonder, you know, like, what is our problem? What are we doing? What are we not doing outside? How can we help our political prisoners? How can we help them? We can do petitions. We can make sure that their health is okay. We can check on them. Some other ways is to keep them in the media, keep them relevant, keep them on all of the news stations that we possibly can, keep them, keep their names out there. Always talk about them. Educate your children. Keep them in the limelight. Now, Comrade Jeffrey Galden is known as the Black Dragon. He was the successor to George Jackson, and he was murdered on the 1st of August due to deliberate medical negligence. Now, the idea of Black August was inspired by his death, and that's something that I didn't hear a lot of. We do know about George Jackson, but W.L. Nolan was one of the primary comrades that had inspired Comrade George Jackson to transform his criminal mentality into a revolutionary mentality. He was assassinated on January 13, 1970, along with other two more comrades by the name of Cleveland Edwards and Alvin Miller. And his nickname was Jug. They called Alvin Miller Jug. And then we're going to talk about George Jackson here. Like I said, he is the original Black Gorilla Dragon comrade. This is George Jackson, and he was assassinated on 8/21/1971. And that is one of the flea days that we have, and we're going to get into that topic next. But as I'm saying, this month is definitely a commemorative month that we have to reach out to our political prisoners. And it's a month that we have time to educate and give thanks to them for all of the oppression that they seek behind the walls, from the wardens to the COs to the gang, like the Mexican cartel and the Asian gangs and things of that nature. And so we have the jailhouse lawyers. And the jailhouse lawyers are the ones that fight for the prisoners. There are other prisoners that fight for prisoners. And these revolutionaries are really solid people. And the least we can do is commemorate their honor during Black August, not forget them, keep them relevant, and keep their names mentioned. And at this time, I would like to bring attention to a very special brother to me. All of them are special, but my beloved brother and mentor, his name is Abdul Shakur. Abdul Shakur has been in prison almost 33 years in solitary confinement. Can you imagine that? That's inhumane. I'm gonna read that again because I'm reading it so I don't forget anything. He has been in prison for 33 years in solitary confinement, not just in prison, but he's been in solitary confinement for 33 years in a concrete box for 33 years. And this is his words. He says, "I learned how to live without breathing and breathe without living. And 25 of those years were spent without sunlight." Can you imagine that? not to see the light of day for 25 years or more. And he goes on to say that my spirit became my light, shining a path that allowed me to protect my sanity, and now the sun hurts my eyes. Abdul Shakur, death before dishonor. Now, this brother, my beloved brother, still finds the time to advocate in the prison, help get laws changed from behind the walls, help others in the prison as a mentor, and people outside the prison he mentors, like myself. Now, I'm going to read just a little bit from his wife, Gwendolyn James Harvey, and she speaks about this, and you can't see it, but it's a picture. If you go on my page on Facebook, Sparkle Robinson, it's a picture of a concrete box, and she says that my husband, Abdul Shakur, spent in solitary confinement walking this concrete box, and you would just have to see it, without no sunlight, as we discussed, after multiple hunger strikes. The last hunger strike that Brother Shakur did lasted longer than 60 days, which almost took his life away. Okay? And a class action lawsuit finally shut down long-term solitary confinement in that prison in Pelican Bay and Concoran State Prison. Now, that's a powerful brother. He's in prison changing law by not eating, by fasting, and keeping his proper mind. Talk Black to me. Anybody have anything to say? You're live on Blog Talk Radio where sisters speak on Sunday.
And my. See if we fired up man, I got to get Abdul to reach out to him first because of the fact of his circumstances. We're going to try the 347, 738. You're live on Black Power Radio in New York City. Black Power?
Black Power. Black Power to all of y'all that's out there. This is Brother Abdul.
Black Power.
National Assistant Field Marshal. Assistant Field Marshal. How y'all doing?
We're good, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. That's good.
Nice definition of Black August, Black Power.
Yes.
Black Power, thank you.
Black Power. The Attica riots was a change in New York State. They did a lot of changing during the Attica riots in 1971, September 9th to the 13th, there was a big, they made a lot of changes in the prisons back then. But now they're taking away some of the opportunities that we have, the grievances, the medical, the health treatment is terrible in here. Everything is a mess in here. Now, the COs in here is working overtime, triple times, because they have not enough officers, they claim. So I'm glad about Brother Shakur. He made change by fasting. And that's what a lot of, we protest, there's a way we protest in here. We go out on the bridge and stick it up, what we call stick it up.
Okay.
And they have to get, yeah, and they have to get what we need, like commissary. People don't want to eat the food here. It's disgusting. Soybean, they soybean us to death in here.
Wow. And so what can you tell us we need to do, my brother, on the outside to help you there? What do we need to do?
Well, first, well, like I said, I've been promoting the program, the new behavior probation program that we have. That's one. If we can assist, we need to set up a coordinator where we can have a coordinator from the outside come in and teach us and drop knowledge on us and give them some wisdom. See, brothers in here like to hear some wisdom, and the sisters also like to hear some wisdom in here, from the outside. That's like a,
exactly.
there's a light. The light is coming from outside. So if we, as comrades, could set up a coordinator to go behind and speak, and then we could transition them into the new behavior probation program that we have.
Okay.
And we get them all started from there, from that point on.
Okay.
To help, you know.
And you also mentioned about you also mentioned about the food being terrible. What is it, old, or what is going on with the food?
What happened is the food they give sometimes is not cooked right. Like the chicken they give, like they give us twice a week they give us chicken. Thursday, sometimes it's cooked, sometimes it's not cooked. You can still see the blood line in it sometimes. So
that's terrible. That's inhumane. That is inhumane.
And it's not that now the officers here got a hands-off policy. They don't put their hands on us no more because they got cameras in here. Because I don't know if y'all remember the Khalif Broda. If you remember that name, Khalif Broda.
Oh, yeah, I did. That story was something else right there. Yes, I do remember him. In
and
New York,
it was,
yeah.
Right, New York, Rikers Island. That's where I'm. That's where I'm at right now.
That's terrible the way they did him. He was so young. Mm-hmm.
Right, and he went home and committed suicide because he couldn't take it no more. They arrested him for something he was accused of doing, stealing a book bag or something.
Yeah, a book bag. Yeah, and they arrested him, and he was a kid, and they put him in solitary confinement.
And
he went crazy, literally. He got well. He got treatment when he got out. He was doing really well with his mother. He had other medical issues. I think learning disability issues before he went in. After all of that, and he came out of prison and finally went home, he couldn't deal with regular society anymore.
Right.
And he just committed suicide. He was just ended it all. And that's huge that you brought that up because we need to also, I think, offer life skills because when you've been in prison and you come back out into the world and you re-enter society, sometimes things have changed. Just think if you've been in prison 40 years and you come out to all this technology, cell phones and all of this madness, you know, and you have to figure out how to catch up, how to maneuver all over again.
Right. And it also it can make it institutionalized, like like you're saying, this place can make you institutionalized and make you go crazy if you're not strong, if you're not a strong person, you know.
That's true. So you have to find what we used to call a toolbox when I work with people with mental health issues, and you have to put things in that toolbox, so to speak, that can help you along the way. And that's really hard to do in prison, but it may be a poem. It may be somebody sending a picture. It may be a book that you would like to read. Just reach out and say, hey, I need this book, you know. So it's a lot of different programs, I think, that we can try and implement with our political prisoners.
Right.
Even help if we just all get together, the ones on the outside. And don't forget and not look back to our political prisoners because we need y'all on the outside. We need y'all to stay strong. We need y'all to be healthy. We need you to be mentally okay so that you can come out and help us here in society because we need each other actually. So, but I commend you because I think making these programs and starting these programs. Now, you're in New York, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get with Brother Akbar and see how we can get together and help you. And if they're implementing programs gearing, you know, towards you being in there and plus reentry programs.
That's what we're right. And that's why we're trying to implement that new behavior probation program.
Okay.
That's like a reentry. That's something we started, the comrades started in New York. And that's like a reentry program for everybody.
That's awesome. That is
definitely
awesome.
A genius in that program, Sister Sparkle. And I'm going to reach out. Let me see. If we could pick up our national spokesman out there on the line, I'm just trying to pick him up. Y'all can feel all noise. Ho, ho. Black power.
Black power.
Black Power, my national spokesman, Honorable Stephen Biko Muhammad. Salaam alaikum, Black Power.
Walaikum salam, Black Power.
I can't hardly hear.
Black Power.
Salaam alaikum.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? I can hear you now, my brother. How you doing,
Biko?
Yes. Black Power,
I'm strong. Black Power, sister. Black Power. Black Power,
Black
national
power.
Chairman. I was listening on, and I have to state that I don't think that you could have found a better brother to begin this program with than Comrade Abdul Shakur out there in California. I was very, very inspired by this brother when I was behind the wall myself previously. This brother served as a mentor to me when I came home. When I first came home, I put people on the ground, and this is one of the brothers that I immediately plugged into, and he kept me motivated, he kept me grounded, he kept me centered. He was instrumental in my revolutionary political education, right? Individuals on the outside get a clear understanding of what political imprisonment is when they read this brother's writings, when they read Jalil Mutakim's writings, such as We're Our Own Liberators, when they read books by Santiago Okole, when they read Message to the Black Movement, a detailed understanding of what it means to be a political prisoner, what it means to work in the revolutionary underground. Another educational series that I recommend that individuals get that are in the struggle to understand what the political prisoners mindset is like is to get the series called Vida Wawatu, right? Book 1 through 12. Vida Wawatu is a revolutionary underground education series that was put together by the New African Prison Movement. And these study guides were instrumental in creating a revolutionary ideological construct that was designed on the inside to help with the infrastructure on the outside. Numerous organizations on the outside credit their stability and credit their ability to be able to reach our greater and larger colonies. I don't call them communities. I call them colonies because we are definitely under an imperialist regime, so we call them colonies. A lot of what we're looking at on the outside is because of concrete critical analysis done by political prisoners, right?
As Huey began to write
when he was locked up. Huey came out of college with the ideological construct towards social change, but he was politicized and radicalized when he went to prison. And it was in prison that a lot of his writings took place. But a lot of his dialectical, critical analysis of how people struggle took place in prison. Malcolm awakened in prison. Stokely awakened when he went to prison for a minute. Bobby Sells awakened when he went to prison. Khalid Abdul Muhammad became a serious revolutionary when he was in Atlanta Penitentiary. So we cannot, under any circumstances, underestimate the potential of the mindset that is developed behind those walls. Individuals have time to study. They have time to analyze. They have time to give critical thought to our people's condition, and also have time to study the laws that govern this nation and then understand the discrepancies and the contradictions inside of those laws. If you want to help the political prisoners, get with a program that is called Amend the 13th. Autonomous infrastructure. It was developed by Abdul Shakur's cellmate, Hashim. His name is Hashim Jensai, right? Joker Hashim Jensai, right? Him and Abdul Shakur have authored numerous books together, right?
Right.
It would be a good idea to get with that program. It is mentioned on Facebook. They have an entire page on Facebook dedicated specifically to that. Also, you have on Facebook George Jackson's grassroots movement for social change and black empowerment. Right, that is a group that I created. It is a black think tank. It is a black think tank. We need programs like this Blog Talk Radio, Black Power Hour, and other Blog Talk Radios associated with that. But Abdul Shakur has a George Jackson University Blog Talk Radio. Right, that comes on Wednesday nights. It would be a good idea for brothers and sisters
and
to tune in because there is a lot of education coming through there. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's what I was going 2 nights ago. I was going there getting educated.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. There is a lot of revolutionary political education going on that website. When these brothers and sisters that are locked up are doing these live feeds at night, they have to do these live feeds at night because of where they are, right? And they have to move in a clandestine way so that the oppressor does not get wind of the fact that they're still educating and teaching, right? So
exactly. So they
do these lives at odd hours of the night. So you have to tune in, right? And we have to begin to write these brothers. Let these brothers know that we love them. Let these brothers know that we appreciate them. Let these brothers know that we are listening and we are paying attention and we are doing everything in our power out here to carry on the work that they went to prison for. You have brothers and sisters that went to prison. Their crime may not have been a political crime, but the politics associated with this corrupt government is what sentenced them. So they are political prisoners. And a lot of their awakening came as a result of interaction with conscious brothers and sisters that are on the inside. Don't get it twisted. You have sisters that have died, that have sacrificed their life for this struggle. Sophia Bacar with the Jericho movement. You have Asada Shakur. She has been a political exile from the United States for over 40 years. This sister has grandchildren here. This sister has family here, and she is the number one most wanted on the FBI list.
FBI
has labeled her the most. She is the number one most wanted individual in the world today. Every United States government. Yes, ma'am. Every United States president has sought out a means by which to infiltrate Cuba to bring her back home to face prosecution. This sister was gunned down on the New Jersey Turnpike in a shootout. Mm-hmm. In a shootout with the New Jersey State Troopers. They took her captive. Her and Santiago Okole took them captive. We lost a comrade in that battle. They took the sister captive. Them brothers refused to allow her to remain a prisoner under that kind of oppression. They beat the sister. They refused to allow the sister to get adequate medical attention. So the brothers went up in there and they captured the sister. I mean, they didn't capture the sister. They went inside the prison and they liberated the sister. The BLA.
That's right.
Went inside.
Right.
They broke into prison and broke the sister out. And she's been at liberty ever since. That's the kind of mindset that we need to have. When we know that the government is not going to free our brothers and sisters that are political prisoners, we have to have an underground element already at play that will set the captive believer free. If they won't give us justice, goddammit, we have to get our own justice. Point blank, period. But we have to also be mindful of the fact that everybody ain't built for that level of the struggle. So each individual, knowing where you are in the struggle, excel where you are good at in the struggle, and know your place, know your role in the struggle, and fulfill that role. We can have this thing like a fine-tuned machine if everybody plays their part and do what it is that they are strategically educated to do and strategically trained to do. Everybody is not an underground soldier. Some people are above ground activists and revolutionaries. Everybody has a part to play. No part is any greater than the other. All of us are in this struggle together. And once we understand that paradigm and understand that standard, and we move with discipline, we move with resolve, we move with love, the revolutionary liberation that we seek is right around the corner. All we got to do is move as a collective around the corner to achieve that objective. We're at a historical moment right now because never before in the history of our people has there been a youth movement and a movement with the elders where they have moved simultaneously together to work for the liberation of our people. So we're at a very pregnant moment. So you know when we had a pregnant moment and the woman is pregnant, she had to be cared for. She had to be nurtured. She had to be in a healthy, nurturing, productive environment so that the child that comes to birth from that womb is a child that is being born into a destiny. So our movement right now is in a pregnant stage. So we have to have the right midwife We got to have the right element that plays for when that child is come, when that child comes to birth. And that child
that's
is coming
right.
to birth is what they fear. They fear the rise or the birth of a black Messiah. We're not talking about a black Messiah in the sense of an individual. No, 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 no. Let's not get it twisted. The black Messiah that we're talking about is not an individual. The black Messiah that we're talking about is a collective, organized, structured movement. That's the Messiah that Hoover feared. He didn't fear an individual. He labeled specific individuals because they had the charisma and the educational background to unify, organize, and mobilize our people. Hoover knew that our liberation would not come at the behest of one individual, but it would come at the behest of an entire unified people. So when these movements are geared towards unification, that's when you become That's when you become a formidable threat. You become a formidable threat
right.
when you have the capacity, to unify a people, organize a people, and mobilize a people. See, bringing people together is relatively easy. Children do it all the time. Bringing people together is easy. Only thing you got to do is just say you want, you're going to have a party or a cookout. Black folk want to come. But mobilizing them and then organizing them is something different. You can mobilize them around a cookout, but you have to organize them once they get there to the real objective, to the real goal. But that means that we have to exercise cadre development. We need political education because we don't want a riot.
Hey, Black Power. In the continuity of that effort, we are going to bring on our co-host for the evening to kick us further into the knowledge of what is your definition of Black August? We have our Queen Mother
with telephone service provided by PayPal Communications. The current balance for your account is $33.
And Black Power to our Queen Janae in Washington, D.C. Black Power.
Put that down for me. Black Power, hello. I was just listening in tonight. I got a family event going on. So Black Power to everybody.
Black Power, Queen.
I'm a co-host from the background, y'all. I'm in the car going to Virginia.
Welcome. We loving it.
Yes. I just had to call in and just support everything that you guys are doing in the New Black Panther Party. I love you. I appreciate you. We are family. And it's just necessary. We need to support our political prisoners. That was my main platform coming into the party, is to develop some kind of relationship with this new generation and the generation of the original Black Panthers that are still in prison. It behooves me that they were still in prison after 40 years. Some of them, our whole life, I'm 43 years old, my whole life, these men and these women have been in prison just for their political beliefs, just for trying to help those poor black and oppressed people. So we must continue to fight for freedom or death. Like they said, when you say freedom or death, you need to be meaning that. Freedom or death
right.
could be locked up at any moment on bogus charges, such as Brother Steve Biko, which we're fighting for his freedom. We're still fighting out here on the street. I just left or got word of another murder scene here in Southeast Washington, D.C. 3 people shot. One of them was killed on the same block where the police officer was abusing young black men. So something has got to be done. We have got to bridge this gap. We've got to be able to get these programs out here to our people and educate them before they self-destruct, because that's where we at now. We are at self-destruction mode. The country
is awful.
It's things going on all over the world that we don't even have, we ain't even privy to. If ain't even paying attention to the information that's out here and that's going on, and we're afraid. So when you're afraid and you feel like you ain't got nothing to live for, you start killing each other. What is this fool doing? on, get over, stupid. Wait, we on the highway. People just driving crazy. Road rage incidents in South Carolina that need to be brought attention to. One of my classmates was killed in a road rage incident, and the sheriff decided not to even prosecute the person. Now, it's okay to kill black people during road rage incidents. You know, I got to get you more information about that, but we need to wake up and pay attention and understand who the real target is out here in the streets. We are at war with this oppressor. We don't have time to be fighting with each other. The in-house fighting has got to stop. You need to come to a conclusion. You need to end it. You cannot actively say black power and you're not using it. So we must use our black power. We must support our leaderships that are true leaders, that are their records prove that they have done the work, like Imam Akbar, who has put
black
in
power.
The work. Put
That's
in
right.
the word, boots on the ground, organized,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen this man fight hard to keep a formation together, only for somebody to come back and just destroy it and tear it all up and funk it all up and make it into something that is not,
well,
you know,
not
it's a lot of hype, and that is not going to happen. We will not allow that to happen
no,
in this
it's
formation.
Not.
It's not going
That's
down
right.
on our watch. So let's continue to have these conversations. I didn't get to speak to Brother Pico, but we're going to, I mean, like I said, I'm in the car. I'm going with my cousin. It's his birthday and everything. So you got to balance out that time between your family and your comrades. Because family first, family over everything. If you truly love your family, you will be an example for them in the vanguard for the people. Black power.
That's right. Black power.
Black power, y'all. So I love
and
you all.
And that's the
chairwoman
of Washington, D.C., and she
yes,
is now
ma'am.
The national program director in the national subcommittee that was voted in with the
yes,
new Black
ma'am.
Panther Party under the leadership of Sheikh Imam Akbar, national chairman. Thank you so much, Queen, for dropping in. We love
no
you.
Problem. We love you too.
All
I'm going to listen in. I'll be listening, but y'all go
okay.
ahead and mute my line.
Right
like
on
how.
Five,
all right.
Run.
Thank
That's
you, Queen.
On that warm.
All
button.
Right.
Right there. Like
that.
Warm apart.
Like
that. You know how you turn that front burner down on the low, 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 and keep your grocers, vittles nice until you're ready to eat them up. So here we go.
That's right.
We'll be rocking and rolling. We're going to try it out again at 248 should be live. 248, you're live here on Black Power Radio. Black Power? Black Power. Okay, I may have, I may have wiped out a whole cadre of folks that time. When I hit the 248, some things just happened. I may have to go back and pick up Biko and all those people try to warn them, ask them to call back in. I don't know if something happened in the studio. Might have been hacked.
Yes, sir.
You,
Black
are you
Power.
Still there, Brother Pico? Black Power. We're here for Quincy.
Yes, sir. Black Power. Black Power. Black Power.
D.C. Black Power. Black Power.
You have that bull supposed
Black
to call
Power.
On the floor.
Black Power.
Yes, I'm so proud of the work that the Washington, D.C. chapter is doing. And as Sister Janae iterated, right, we have a national chairman at this stage of the development of the new Black Panther Party that is a proven people's champion. He's proven that he is for the people. He has been coast to coast, state to state, doing the work, the boots on the ground work. See, Huey said something about a while back when he said proper handling of revolution. He said that theory is nothing without practice buttressing that theory. So unless we are active in our communities, unless we have boots on the ground in our communities, putting forth a clear-cut analysis and clear-cut a clear-cut analysis and a clear-cut view of what our theory is based on our own personal practices with our people, we are doing nothing but spitting rhetoric. Abdul Shakur said something a while back when I was in his organization, NARN. He said, Biko, let me tell you something. Talking to our people means nothing if you don't serve as the proper example behind the rhetoric that you're giving to the people.
Yes.
So we have to be practitioners.
We have to be practitioners, otherwise we can be charged with hypocrisy. You don't talk to the people about a revolutionary struggle. You don't talk to the people about revolutionary change. But if you are not a vehicle by which that change can be brought about or a vehicle by which that change can be seen, our people don't need marches. We've been marching too goddamn long. We don't need marches. We need concrete programs inside of our communities that will eradicate poverty, ignorance, and oppression. Without those concrete programs in our community, we are doing nothing but recycling age-old, outdated, antiquated ideological concepts. We have to get out of that. We have to get out of that graveyard of do nothing, and get up and do something for ourselves. Remove our people from the enemy's table. As long as our people are sitting at their tables eating their food, or sitting at our table eating their food, we are a subservient people. We got to get back to get that land. Land is the basis of independence. If you don't have land, you are not an independent people. If you don't have land, you can't farm. You can't feed your people. So let us begin to lobby. Let us begin to raise funds. Let us begin to raise money and buy land. Let's buy land and build on that land. Build our own on that land. Otherwise, you're doing nothing. You are doing nothing but recycling that which they give to you. We have become a people that subsist on subsidies. If they stop giving us food, if they stop giving us free food, how are we going to feed our people?
Yeah.
How are you going to feed your people?
Black power.
All
Black
of
power.
The food that you getting out there and donating
Black
to the people
power.
Is
Black
food
power.
That was given to you through their programs. We need
That's
to establish
right.
We need to establish networks with these farmers. Get that fresh produce off those farms and get those fresh produce inside the Black community. Let those farmers know that we support them. We can put security on their farm so that the government won't go out there and press them out and take their crops from them. But as a reward for us giving them that kind of service, they have to feed their people. So we enter into a barter system. We provide security for you as military units. And you take some of the produce that are on your farm, and you feed the Black community. We understand you got to make a dollar. We're not gonna get in the way of that. But take some of that and feed the Black community. Help us to get our stomachs out of the oppressor's kitchen. We're dying of high blood pressure. We're dying of cancer. We're dying of everything else. All these illnesses that come from their chemically induced food products. They give us food that they don't eat themselves.
That's right. That's right.
And we accept it.
And I think
and
we're dying from
people.
The food. The cancer's in the food.
Yes, ma'am.
I really believe that.
Yes, ma'am.
The cancer's in the food.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I have a quick,
and we need to
quick,
build military installations. Go ahead, sister.
Oh, you can go ahead, my brother. I was just reading a text from Brother Abdul. Go ahead. You're fine.
Yeah, we need to build military installations where we train our people in the art of military science. We need to build these installations and keep these installations clandestine. Stop doing marches where you showing the enemy your weapons. You doing a 1,000-man march. 5,000-man march, y'all marching through neighborhoods, you marching through communities with guns. Don't you know the enemy don't give a damn about your guns because they are the ones that provided those guns for you, so they don't give a damn about your guns. You still using pop guns, but these bastards are wiping us out through cyber warfare, and you still ground-level warfare, and you think you're doing something. Stop showing them.
That's right.
Stop showing them your military. Your military is supposed to be a clandestine unit. Your military is supposed to be a secret operation. They stay in front of us because we talk too goddamn much and we reveal too damn much to them.
That's right.
Stop advertising.
That's right.
Stop advertising your rise. Rise in stealth mode. Rise in secret. Rise in using the art of covert activity. We showing them too damn much. We giving them every move that we make, we advertise it before we do. And they're meeting us every damn step of the way. They're meeting us and putting opposition in front of us because we are advertising what we're doing. We need black folks need to learn how to keep their goddamn mouth shut sometimes. And organize secretly.
Black power. Black
meet in secret locations and organize secretly. Stop letting the enemy know when you're going to have a Black Power Summit. You advertising a Black Power Summit all over the goddamn media. And you wondering how they're putting their agents in there. Or how they have white militias already waiting at the location for you.
That's right.
Because you're advertising your moves. You are acting as an agent of our people's demise and act like you don't even know. Whenever you advertise a gathering of black revolutionary leadership and you advertise that gathering in the public, you are an agent. You are goddamn
Brother Abdul is going to call from text now. He's going to call in from text now.
Oh, man, I want to hear my brother.
Just hold the line. Hold the line, Brother Pico. Don't go nowhere.
Yes, ma'am.
Did we pick up Abdul on this line? Did we pick up Abdul? Brother Abdul?
Yes.
Black
yes. What's that,
you're
man? Black
Power. Black
Power.
Black Power.
Okay. How you guys doing?
Black
Power.
Oh,
hold on,
Black Power, my brother.
Okay, man.
Abdullah on your line? Abdullah?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead and talk.
I'm here.
Black Power.
All right. Hey, one of the things that I want to speak on briefly, because I spoke on it the other day, about the community being a power base for the revolutionary struggle, right? In order for it to be successful, we must stabilize our community. If you study any future or past revolution, the community was the base by which you organized from. And it's an imperative that we stabilize our community. We cannot launch a successful revolution when the community is in turmoil. And when it's in turmoil, the government is easy to exploit those conflicts and contradictions. Our focus and primary focus is to build the community. That is our base.
Yes,
establish community-based institutions to serve our community. And the community often asks, what do self-government look like? What does independence look like? They have yet to see that. But the community is the first stage of their independence. If we develop our own institutions from schools to hospitals to clinics, they will get a glance of what self-government looks like. They've never seen it before.
Yeah.
And we can't keep selling them words and pipe dreams. We have to give them something that's concrete that they can say, okay, we have our own Department of Agriculture where we grow our own food. We have our own stores in the community where we place our own grocery in them stores, right? We have security programs. They don't have to call 911. They can call us. You know, like they don't need the Amber Alert. We got a solid alert where we look. It's not just about looking for lost kids, but preventing it from happening. You know what I'm saying? So these things can be done. These are doable on this stage. But oftentimes we create our own internal conflicts to justify why we're not doing the work. Like one of the things I'm saying is that if you got a Christian brother, I'm a Muslim, but if you got a brother and sister that's willing to die for our people and die for the community and not bring that crap capitalism pillar into the community, I have no problem working with them. You see what I'm saying?
That's
one of the things I say is this here. If you look at our future, whatever future we're fighting for is going to be diverse. It's not going to be monolithic. You know what I'm saying? So whatever future society we're fighting for, we're going to have brothers that are Christian, Muslims, non-believers, black Israelites, you name it. That ain't going to change. But oftentimes, we try to start that fight right now. We start this fight right now, and I believe it's just a diversion. We'll deal with this issue when that time comes. We need to come together and find common grounds and fight for our people because they're suffering. Rhetoric do not feed empty stomachs.
Yeah.
Rhetoric do not house our homeless. Rhetoric do not employ our unemployed. We need to put together concrete solutions to solve these problems. The community is our primary right now. We know right now for a fact we're not going to see liberation in our time. It's not going to happen in our time. No revolution ever took place in 10 years, 20, 30 years. It takes place in stages. We have a role to play. We have to establish a blueprint for our future generations to build from. What is the blueprint? It's the stabilization of our community. Is organizing our community, putting these programs, institutions, and service right now so when the future generations come, they take on from there. You know, we can't say, well, I want independent land. Well, the community's not independent yet. You know, we have to build a community. The community should look like what we want to see in the future. If we can't do it now, we're never going to get that future. If we can't govern our community now, how do you think we're going to govern a nation? If we can't even govern our own community? Because the same contradiction that exists in our community will exist in the nation, whatever nation we build. You're going to have drugs. You're going to have spousal abuse. You're going to have all these different conflicts and contradictions that exist in our community going to exist in our nation. If we can't solve them now, developing basic programs to address them now, we sure the hell ain't going to do it then. This is a testing ground for all revolutionary formation, regardless of what you call yourself. And we need to understand that we're all in this together. We need to come together because, again, in the future, it would not be monolithic. We have to consolidate our forces. But we're all in this for the same reason, the liberation of our people, to serve our people, you know, and that should bring us together with common ground, you know. But the point I wanted to make is that we have to understand that until we stabilize our community, not just providing with programs and marching down the streets, we have to give them something that's more concrete. What I mean by this is this. I don't want to dump a grocery bag out and see all the food in that bag belong to the white man. I want to dump that grocery bag out and see all the food in it that belong to black farmers. That means we are independent from this government. You know what I'm saying? So everything we develop and create must be by us, and it can be done. I asked some of the comrades out there, what are they doing to consolidate with the black farmers, organize the black farmers? What are we doing to reach out to these black truckers who can transport the food from the south to the west coast to the east coast? What are we doing in that term? What are we doing to build institutions, not just programs, but institutions? Where's our people clinics? Where are our mobile clinics at? If we pull our resources together, what are we doing, like when you deal with Jay-Z and Beyonce, are we making demands of them? You made money off of us. Donate that money back to the community. You see what I'm saying?
That's
all
right.
The millions and billions you got was done off off us, hardworking people, poor people. And you ain't doing nothing. So the thing is, we have to start making demands of them. Same way with the black athletes, making demands of them. Instead of asking, you know, I mean, if a rich white man want to donate millions of dollars, we're going to take it, but he ain't got nothing to say about it either. But we want to focus on our own people, and there's enough resources out there for us to get. So we must have an organized, concerted effort directed at the entertainers, celebrities, so they can donate to this cause. Because oftentimes we find ourselves trying to raise money then serving the people. Majority of the black organizations in our community spend at least 80% of the time trying to raise funds. Never had the opportunity to build their program.
Right.
We have to turn that around. We must have the necessary resources to finance our own programs, you know, and the donation can serve as a supplement. But this is this is a mistake that's been going on. I grew up in the Black Panther. So the same thing, if you go back and study history, the majority of the money that came in was donated by white folks. Only a small percentage came from the newspaper, and a small percentage came from the badges they were selling. Most of it came from them. So whoever control your purse, control your organization. And all you have to do is look at, you remember years ago when Ben Shavis was in charge of the NAACP, he wanted to connect the Nation of Islam. But all those white and Jewish donors said, oh, no, that ain't going to happen. And they threatened to pull the money out. The NAACP, hurry up and kick Louis Farrakhan to the curb. So whoever control your purse, control what direction you go in as an organization, as a movement. So that's why it's important that we learn. Historical materialism, dialectical materialism tell us we have to study our past. These are the mistakes that the party made. We can't keep making the same mistake. We have to study. This is the signs of struggle. We need to change that. We, to this day, still looking for outside donations. That's the thing that also destroy or help facilitate the demise of the party. You know, they rely on everybody. And just like when you look at the free breakfast program, most of the buildings that the program took place was controlled by Jews, owned by whites, not us. Some took place in black churches, but a lot of them took place in buildings that was owned by outsiders. Like I said, who control your resources, control your organization. How can we be an independent organization, an independent revolution, when everything we have is controlled by our oppressors?
So
at the same time, they escalated their game. We have to escalate ours. Like I say, we oftentimes play checkers with a chess player, and then we wonder why we're losing. We have to take a chessboard to the chess game, not a checkerboard. We move one piece at a time when the oppressor is thinking 20, 30 years ahead of us. So every move we make is predictable. Every move we make, he can check us. Because we're not thinking statistically. We have to think 20 years from now, 10 years from now. If I lay this piece down now, what role will it play for our future posterity? What role will this piece play to help and facilitate our future revolution? That's what we have to think. and we develop a program or an institution, how that institution is going to serve our people in the future. We have to think 10, 20, 30 years ahead, but we're not doing it. We're thinking one move at a time. That's why it's easy for the oppressor to mop our ass up. And he know that. We have to start taking the chessboard to the chess game, not a checkerboard. You know, so
let's
it's
go,
all about
man.
Thinking. It's, and the revolution is a scientific process, is a thinking process. You know, we have to think before we move, and we have to ask ourselves each time, why did I make this move? Like chess. If I move a piece, and the piece can be a program, it can be anything that's in service of our community. Why did I do this? What purpose does it serve? How can they stop this? We have to look at both sides, the unity of struggles of opposites. We got to say, if I implement this program, how can they hurt this program? So when you think like that, you put into place certain security mechanisms that can protect and defend that program. So if I say, okay, if I put this program in place, I don't own the building, they can easily control me because they can shut the building down. So that means from the beginning, I got to own that building. I have to own that building.
Right.
Then you have to look at all the other moves. So it's like chess again. When you make a move, ask yourself, why did I make this move? And that move is symbolizing programs or whatever the case may be that's in service of our community. How can they destroy it? How can they stagnate it? Then you have to respond to that. Then you implement your program. It's a constant thinking process. Another thing I explain to comrades on the streets, one thing you have to do is go door to door. You have to ask the people, how have our program affected you in a negative way or positive way? You have to ask our people, what can we do better than what we're doing now? You have to keep them involved. That's the basis of black unity. If the people don't know who the hell you is, how can you establish unity? They don't know who you is. They just know the name of your organization. Do they know you personally?
Yes.
Back in the days when I was a youngster, a Black Panther Cub, my father had me going door to door. I knew everybody in my community. I went door to door every day to speak with them, spend time with them. I knew who they was. They knew me as a kid. That's the same thing we have to do, build that community tie. We have to go door to door. That way the people will trust your organization. The people will trust the movement. They will come to you. Remember the COINTELPRO. It was easy for the government to do this because they used individuals that was isolated from the movement, isolated from the community. They were not oriented yet. We have to understand, too, it was easy for them to do this because oftentimes we try to force feed stuff to our people not realizing they're regurgitating it. That's why you have to understand what our people eat. We have to understand what our people want. Like Comrade George said, you arouse the people around their immediate need, not around your immediate need. And one of the things I try to tell people, our success is dependent on the people's success. You can build a big organization, but that's not successful if it's not serving the people. That's why you got to go to the people and ask them, what are we doing right? Because our success is based on their success. If we say that we're trying to eradicate hunger and starvation from our community, if we don't do that, we're not being successful. It's not the people, it's us. So I'm saying anytime we implement a program, that's on us. We're the vanguards. We're revolutionaries. You can't blame the people for not responding. You got to say, what am I doing wrong that they're not listening to me? You know, but we have a tendency to point the people at the finger at the people because they don't hear us. No, we may be speaking a different language they don't understand. We have so when you go door to door, you learn about the people. Now you know what language you speak. It means that you have a more emotional, intimate contact with the people. Okay, that's the language they speak. Oftentimes we'll be up there speaking Japanese and people don't understand a goddamn thing we're saying. Because we're trying to predict what they understand. We got to go door to door, speak with them, build a relationship. And through that process, okay, that's what they speak. They speak Swahili. So now I know how to speak. My program will be speaking Swahili. My institution will be speaking Swahili. I'm just using that as a euphemism, right? So I'm saying once you get the language, once you get the language down, once you get the language, you're going to facilitate your endeavors to build institutions and connect with the community. That's all I have to say, folks. I don't want to be long-winded, but yeah. That's what I want
to
share.
No, we love it. I mean, please, drop the knowledge on us. I appreciate this, my brother. I really do. We need to hear this. We need to be guided because our most seasoned revolutionaries are behind the wall, the ones with the knowledge, and they can teach us and guide us the right way. So we do appreciate you. And you're not long-winded. We're just taking notes here. I know I am. I have my pen and pad. I'm taking notes,
see,
my brother.
The reason why I say this too, right, we often tend to, because when, you know, our people, I'm speaking about our people for the most part, attention span is short. So oftentimes when we talk,
correct,
we lose them, right? We lose them. So that's why it's important to be precise in what we say and do, right? So we have to be able to say what you normally say in an hour, you have to say in 20, 30 minutes. And that's all you got.
Yes, sir.
You know? And then oftentimes when you do go an hour, And next time you talk, they say, oh, man, I ain't going to be sitting and listening to this. They're going to go on for 2-3 hours. I ain't going to have time for that. And a lot of people don't have that type of time. So you got to learn how to speak in that 5, 10, 15 minutes that you got. You know what I'm saying? And that way they'll come back. Or he's only going to speak, or she's only going to speak for 10 minutes. I got 10 minutes to give. The next time, it may be 15 minutes. Next time, 20 minutes. Again, you're applying strategies and tactics and how you educate and agitate and instigate as well. You know? So you don't have to give all to them at one time. And this is another thing I tell people, right? We want every brother and sister to give 2-3 hours to the struggle. They don't have to do that because they won't do that. They can give 15 minutes. If you have 100 people giving 15 minutes, that's like one person giving 10, 15 hours. So if we say, check this out, we want you to give 20 minutes of your time to this program. We want you to give 30 minutes of your time to this program. Before you know it, you have that time slot filled up. Because you may have a sister that take the first 20 minutes. Then the brother come back and take the next 20 minutes. Before you know, that hour is already taken. And they can give us 20 minutes. So once you give them that 20 minutes, they may invite themselves to give you 30 minutes. You know, a lot of times our people is on that lane and they don't, you know, they think they don't have that time because their priority is wrong. But just give me 10 minutes. That's all I want. I got a program that I'm passing out groceries. Can you give me 10 minutes to help bag the groceries? You know, if you just give them 10 minutes, they may just keep on going. You know, give them a reason to come back. Don't give them a reason to run away. And oftentimes we do that. We make it more difficult and complicated for them to serve the people, to serve the revolution. We have to make it easy for them. It must be a love connection. You know what I'm saying? If you lose that love connection, why come for? It has to be a love connection. They have to understand that they're doing this out of love. It can't be bored. You know, so you got to say, like, when you come here, this is how it's going to benefit your children. That's why the breakfast program was very effective, because the children was eating while the parents were being educated, orientated. And if you remember, they used to have all the pictures on the wall. And a lot of the kids, you say, who's that, mama? That's the opportunity for education. Who's that, daddy? That's the moment of education again. So we have to have those symbols around as well. That's one of the reasons why we push these logos of George and WL and all these brothers and sisters. We push them logos so when people say, who is this? It's an opportunity to give a history lesson. It's an opportunity to educate and talk, you know?
That's right.
That's it. Yeah. You know, and you guys know I'm going to have to watch these pigs.
Brother.
You know, I'm going to have to watch these pigs too, you know?
It's all good. Thank you so much. You don't know how grateful we are here at Blog Talk Radio where Sister Speaks Sunday. We are so happy for you to drop in and drop some knowledge on us. And I'm taking notes here.
Okay.
We're going to listen to that and get out in the community and do some canvassing. That's an excellent idea. As the National Minister of Finance, I do plan on hitting some of those heavy hitters, my brother, for real. And one thing I wanted to add to that was don't forget the politicians of color. Some of them don't want to be involved. They want
to
be silent donors, and that's fine, too. Be a silent donor.
Yeah, but see, you have to approach them differently because they have a direct link to the system. So you always have to approach the politicians separate than the entertainers because they have a direct link to the system. So if you are part of the system and I see you doing certain things as FBI, CIA, Homeland Security, I may utilize you as a bug. I may utilize you as an agent. You see what I'm saying? So that's why it's important when you deal with people like that, you're going to have to watch it. That's why it's important for everybody to learn about the COINTELPRO. Read The Agent of Oppression. Read The Agent of Repression. Read all those books that talk about the COINTELPRO. So we have to learn and master their methods and tactics so we can counter it or we can see it and identify it before it infiltrates. So that's why it's important. And when you're dealing with politicians, they oftentimes serve as a portal for infiltration and co-opting the movement. So you have to be careful when you're dealing with them. And one more thing, sister. If these folks do what they're supposed to do,
yes,
they're supposed to let me out next year.
I love you, brother.
Yeah,
we're going to go ahead and claim that.
Yeah, after 40, after 40 years. Yeah.
I'm going
to after 40 years, the white folks finally talking about letting me out. When you kill white folks, you do more time, you know?
Yes, sir.
If I would have done my own, I would have been out 20, 30 years ago.
Yes, sir.
How about that? You're right about that.
You know? I appreciate this opportunity, you guys.
We appreciate you coming on, brother.
Blog Talk Radio, Black Power Hour. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Peace
Thank
and
you,
love.
Comrade.
Well, that was Abdul Shakur.
Black Power.
And he's dropping some knowledge on us tonight. And if you just, I don't know about y'all, but I was taking some notes here. And he made a lot
right.
of sense with a lot of different angles and a lot of different ways, like my grandmother used to say, more than one way to skin a cat. So
yes,
get my
that's right.
And get busy and get on it. And now back to our national spokesman, Stephen Biko. Brother Biko.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Wow. Black Power.
Black Power, Ken.
Can you hear me? Yes. Listening to the brother, I'm often reminded of his training. I'm often reminded of how he trained me, right? I mean, I spent hours listening to the brother's lives. I spent hours commenting on his lives. I spent hours on the phone talking to the brother from time to time. And the consistency by which he politicized me, he radicalized my thinking, right? And a lot of what the New Black Panther Party sees in Comrade Stephen Biko, National Spokesman Chief Stephen Biko, they can attribute that to that brother that just got off the phone, Abdul Shakur. Right. A lot of the information that I have in my head, a lot of the consciousness that I have and my scientific approach to revolutionary struggle and understanding that revolution is a scientific process, it is a protracted revolutionary process that mandates scientific critical analysis of our current condition. All of that came from him. All of that came from Comrade George Jackson. All of that came from W.L. Nolan, Frantz Fanon, right? Comrades that were dedicated to the political education of our people, because we can't have a revolutionary movement unless we are politicized correctly and radicalized correctly and understand that this movement is a protracted war. We are at war. And understanding how war operates, you have to understand the terrain that you're fighting on. You can't engage an opponent, like he spoke about the chessboard. You can't actively engage a opponent without studying that opponent previously. You don't get involved in a boxing match and you haven't studied your opponent. You don't get involved in warfare and you don't understand your opponent's moves, you don't understand your opponent's weaknesses, your opponent's strengths, and you don't know how to exploit those things. The primary problem with our people, as the brother stated, is that we have not been politicized enough where we can build concrete infrastructures within our communities. As he said, our community should begin to look like what it is that we are aspiring for. If we're looking for a utopia, within the black community, we should begin to build around that agenda. If we're looking for independence in education, we should begin to build around that agenda. If we're looking for independence in terms of food supply, mass production, and distribution, we should begin to network with those individuals those black individuals that can provide those services. When we're talking about nation building, we need to think about banking, we need to think about the government, we need to think about Medicare, hospitals, educational institutions, agricultural infrastructure. All of these kind of components come into play, but you still have to have in place a strong black military unit that can protect and defend the interests of our community. As I stated earlier, we can't keep protesting injustices without those who are protesting understand the political nature of the system that we're fighting against. Otherwise, if they don't understand the politics associated with fighting against injustice, they only go out there with rhetoric and end up in a riotous position, which the oppressor wants to see them at, so that they can see that we are not organized and they can move into a focalist position. And from that focalist position, they can feed the reactionary mindsets of our people who are not disciplined towards revolutionary objectives. We have to remove the reactionary tendencies towards oppression. And we need to respond. Abdul told me this a long time ago. We need to respond instead of reacting.
A reaction is a movement without thought. A response is a carefully thought out. A response is a carefully thought out movement that comes as a response to a reaction or a action. We need to be critical thinkers. All of those individuals that he mentioned, all of that information that he gave, that came from concrete scientific critical analysis. If you notice, as he began to elucidate to specifics of our liberation as a collective people, he never spoke individually. He spoke to us moving as a collective. But he also spoke to the fact that we have to hold our own people accountable. You can't always talk about the white man, it's the white man, it's the white man, the other one. Okay, we understand that there is a system of oppression in place. However, what role do we play in the continued existence of this system of oppression?
Black power.
We have to hold our own people accountable as well. Because the oppressor can't maintain a oppressive system unless we feed into that system that is in place. We have to acquiesce to it in order for it to continue to have the effect on us that it has. And if we don't have programs in place that decolonize the colonized mindset, then we are ill-equipped and ill-prepared to begin to move towards the end goal, which is liberation. The brother spoke about land. Land is the basis of independence. Then he spoke about the vanguard. We are supposed to be the vanguard of the people's movement. We are in a people's war. But Conrad George Jackson said this. He said, if the people are continuously in a state of chaos, it's not the fault of the people, it's the fault of the vanguard, because the vanguard failed to perform their duty of educating and preparing the people for the impending revolution. Abdul Shakur said that if the people ain't getting what it is that we're giving them, it's our fault, because we have to go back and figure out why we're not able to reach the people. What is it that we're doing wrong? And a lot of times, like he said, it's the language that we're using. It's the approach.
Exactly.
We have to scientifically analyze the approach that we're using and revamp our approach. We can't reach the young people because we're not speaking their language. We
and
spend
you know
more
what?
Time
so
talking
true.
To them instead of talking with them.
He also stated that we have to ask people what it is they need. Ask them what it is they need,
absolutely.
What it is they want. What are we doing
absolutely.
That we can do better? You know, so those
yes,
are
ma'am.
All valid to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Because we can't just assume that whatever we're dishing out is what people need. We need to be familiar with our communities, like you said, canvas
absolutely.
In the area so people will know us.
That's right.
You know, they don't know
that's
strange
right.
people walking up to them in uniforms, but we have to make ourselves
yes, ma'am.
Known. We have to make ourselves clean so they'll know, hey, this organization is here and they're here to stay and they're helping the community. And we
that's
are
right.
not what they claim us to be.
That's right. And we also have to recognize the fact that there is no monopoly on solutions. There's no cookie-cutter approach to solving this problem. We're looking for a microwave solution to a range of problems. We have to understand that we need to organize and mobilize these grassroots organizations. And each organization provides a specific service. And we need to network and coalition build. Build coalitions with these other organizations that share our agenda, that share our objectives. And work hand-in-hand with them using what is called strategic alliances, right? And strategic alliances promotes the idea and the concept of operational unity. Before we can have organizational unity, we must try and test operational unity at first. See if we can work together. Let's establish a goal. And let's see if these organizations can work together to achieve that goal. If they are able to work together to achieve that goal, then that is the springboard that can be used for further objectives. Right? But we have to knock on doors. We got to engage our people. We got to get to know our people. We got to tap these other revolutionary leaders. Tap them. And get in contact with them and find out how we should work together. What would be the basis by which we are able to work out a common agenda? We ain't concerned about who the chief is. We don't care about none of that. Because our people are not looking for chiefs. Our people are looking for servants. Our people are looking for people that can produce programs, people that can give them resources, people that can get them out of the condition that they're in and move them forward towards empowerment. So each organization plays a role in that. We have gun clubs that can train our people in the military. We have students on the college campus that are mastering in political science, so they can come into our groups and serve as political science teachers once we radicalize them and revolutionize their thinking. We have cultural nationalists that can teach our people history. We have people coming out of med school that can teach our people medicine. We have people that are farmers that can teach our people agriculture, herticulture. So we need to mobilize all of these talented sectors of our community towards a unified network so we can provide resources for our people. Sister Janae said something to me months ago. She said, we can't say that we are promoting black power, but we don't have programs in place that produces the ability for our black people to be empowered.
Right. It makes sense. Black power. Yes.
Black power. I mean, look what my beloved down in New Orleans is trying
Select
to
call
get
from
Stephen Muhammad.
With telephone service provided by PayPal Communications. The current balance for your account is $21.50. Stay on the phone after this call for payment options. To receive information, this call will be recorded.
That's your phone, Brother Agbar?
Okay. Black
Power. That was your phone? Black Power?
Yes, sir.
We're talking about
Black Power. Yes, I like
Black August. You got to get focused now. What is your definition of Black August? Can you give us your concept when you hear Black August?
When I think about Black August, I think about George Jackson.
Black Power.
George Jackson and his brother Jonathan Jackson. You know, they, you know, sacrificed and put their lives on the line and, you know, matter of fact, Brother Huey P. Newton died this month, too, on the 22nd. I think about that because there was a lot of stuff that happened in Garvey's birthday, too, in August. So, it was a lot of stuff that happened around this month, you know. And I wanted to ask you, too, the brother, was he part of the new African Panthers?
I'm sorry, you said what? Is he a part of what? My phone.
The new African Black Panther Party, that brother that was on there talking.
No, he's with the Liberation Movement.
Okay.
And the Brother Biko is the national spokesman for the national subcommittee, Black Panther Party, New Black Panther Party.
Okay. But I like what I'm hearing, and, you know, that's what I think about Black August. You know, all of those, you know, George Jackson, Jonathan Jackson, Huey Newton, Marcus Garvey. Didn't that happen around August? The MOVE organization, when they moved on there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. MOVE, yeah, from the Africa family that was bombed in Philadelphia. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Did that happen? Because I know that a lot of stuff happened in the month of August. I can go on and on,
Oh, I can definitely help you out on that. I know, like, August the 20th, we landed here in Virginia. That's what we were told was the first account of us hitting American soil, to be determined.
Yes.
But August the 14th, the Haitians said, we not taking it no more. And they was the first black republic in the world because they won the war. And that was August the 14th in 1791. Then on August 1831, Nat Turner Rebellion lasted from August the 21st to the 23rd. And then we had I'm sorry, go ahead, sir.
I wanted to say this, not to cut you off. Now, I don't know this happened, but in New Orleans, they had the biggest slave revolt in this country. That's something they never talk about. They were inspired by the Haitian Revolution because they were trying to make New Orleans the Black Republic, you know, so you might want to, you know, check that out. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I appreciate that. any information I can get and take notes on, we good to go with that. We're going to check it out. You're talking about in 1811, the German Coast Uprising in New Orleans, and that was a slave revolt. Yes, yes indeed. We're going to check that out. Yes. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I like what I'm hearing, and I want to hear, you know, about us, you know, getting these programs and stuff like the medical, I like what the brother said. We can't just be the white man, the cracker. Okay, yeah, but what are we doing to stop this? You know, and I agree with that.
Great. Now, you know about our latest development in the New Black Panther Party. We have We the People Organic Food is coming off the ground and giving us the food and produce back. We are actually building a headquarters, or building a training center for the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. So several programs got started. We got all kind of good help that's come to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And I know Brother Howard, I know he wants to celebrate us. You should see our food all over the Internet. You should just eating that good produce off of our own land and our own organic food and looking good out there, looking good.
Yeah, and the taste
scrumptious,
too.
Food.
Okay. I want to say this, too, by we reforming this, because I would like for all of us to meet up where we'll know, you know, yeah, you know. Because I like the reformation of the New Black Panther Party. I love this.
Thank you so much, my brother. And we love
and
you,
we love
too.
You so much.
We love everybody.
We love
and we're hoping to bring our people together. That's the whole thing. Like Brother Abdul Shakur was saying, we don't care who you are. We have to come together. We need Muslims, Christians, the Israelites, whoever. We all are in this together. We have to come together. And that's the bottom line. We can't do it any other way but together.
The OAAU.
Okay, somebody there? Hello?
Yeah, I'm
okay,
right here. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, Brother Harold from down New Orleans. Sister Spock, you got to get familiar with him. He's one of our leading assistants in the department, in the information, in the national information moves and stuff, the him and Brother Jamel and Brother Naeem and Brother Kamau. Is just a whole host of them running information. We got some information madness in this new Black Panther.
Well, that's good.
Newly elected
that's
Black Panther. Got multi-dimensional. We got multi-dimensional love, multi-dimensional black power.
Yes, black power, brothers. Yes.
Yes, sir.
All power to
right
the people, black power.
Black
yes, sir.
Power.
All power
New
to
York
the people.
On the weekend, Brother Howe, you need to join us in New York, and we're going to be on the land in a couple of days. One on Tuesday, we'll be in New York City on the Marcus Masada. You're a Garveyite man, brother. I know that. We're going to be at the annual parade of Alma Mater Messiah Garvey. And we're coming right back to the land.
This
right
would
back
be,
to the land.
Yeah,
but
yeah this would be
our
what,
land. Come on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when they, you know, shipped them. They brought them back to Jamaica right from here, right in this city here, New Orleans.
Wow.
Harold is a great activist, Sister Sparkle. He's been with us forever. I think, man, Harold's been around longer than I've been around. I thought I'd been here for a minute. I'm trying to remember back clear. I might have seen Harold when I came through the door of this side of the street.
Me and you met, Agbo. You stayed in the room with me. This was in 2014.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, 2004. You've been here since 14. That's 6 or 7 years at least, and I came like 1999. So I'm in just
well, while y'all going down memory lane, I want to send this out to people that want to research Black August. You can find information at George Jackson University. And you can also find more information at Malcolm X Grassroots, or you can simply type in Black August, and that's on Facebook, or you can Google it. And if you need any more information, please reach out to us, and we'll be more than happy to help you. And I just also want to add, this month, it's just so much that happened in the month of August. We had the murder of Emmett Till. I'm tongue-tied today, y'all. I'm sorry. The murder of Emmett Till, that was the 28th of August, and the famous I Have a Dream speech in the March on Washington, where it was over 200,000 people here in D.C. in 1963 for the famous I Have a Dream speech by the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Then we had the 21st of August, which I spoke on the rebellion with Nat Turner. Okay, then also we have Born This Month, and the fellas that already taught, the brothers are talking about Marcus Garvey. His birthday is on the 17th of this month. Henrietta Lack's birthday was the 1st of this month, who helped aid in research through using her cells when she had cervical cancer. And then the late, great Fred Hampton's birthday is this month on the 30th. Of this month. So we know that Black liberation organizations have taken Black August seriously in looking at a system that has impressed and oppressed and enslaved us. And we need to do more with Black August as far as researching, fasting, exercising, getting a book. And I have a suggestion for some books, a book by Brother Abdul Shakur. It's called Concrete Scholars. You can purchase that, and that will give you an idea of some things that you probably would like to learn about and help of researching for this month of Black August. Also, you could probably read some books by George Jackson, like Soledad, Brother, and Blood in My Eyes. Those are just a few books that I can name that you might want to read. Another book is Assata. It's a book, autobiography about Assata Shakur. That's a real good one right there. And so with that being said, do we have any more callers on the line?
Man, I think you've got most of them. We got bringing that West Coast up. We got that West Side, Sister Sparkle. We're bringing it live
all
from
right
that
now.
West Side. Can't do it without that West
Y'all
Side.
Y'all have to bear with me because I can barely hear on this phone tonight.
Black Power. We got us some West Side on the phone with our beloved brother, Fred. Fred is right out there on that West Side at 707-805. You're live on Black Power Radio. Black Power?
Black Power, everybody. How y'all doing tonight?
Oh, we are blessed, Brother Fred. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm blessed. I tell you, I just came from a concert. Cause we have a black store out here in Oakland, Fairfield, and well, I was at broadcasting tonight over there. But we are the new black man of Black Power Radio, and we are the black women who do it on Wednesday. On Sunday night. And what I'm going to tell y'all, y'all doing a wonderful job on Sunday night on Black Power Radio. And I'm going to tell you, I'm telling everybody about y'all on Sunday night. But I'm telling y'all, we're going to keep on moving to justice. We get justice because I'm getting tired. Because see what's going on right now, people's not listening to us. Osba is my main man. And I'm going to tell you, anybody take a heed to hear what he's saying, better take a heed to what he's saying, because if you don't, you got to deal with me, because I'm telling you, that's my main man. I ain't going to let nobody put him down, you know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, y'all doing a wonderful job out there in D.C. Everywhere y'all go down south, y'all doing a good job. But all the troops down there in Atlanta and everywhere else, God bless and stay up. I'm back to my main man, Osper.
Black Power, Brother
Black
Fred.
Power,
I know that's
Black
right.
Power.
Black Power, thank you so much for tuning in.
Live from Philly
bad man. And he's out there putting the word out for us every day on a daily basis. He's putting out the word on the Panther, the Black Power Radio, and just picking up the slack and telling people where it's at on a consistent basis. Black Power, Sister Sparkle, Black Power.
Black Power. We really appreciate Brother Fred. As you said, he's out there. He's always in support of everything that we do, and we really have a lot of gratitude for you, Brother Fred. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your help, always. And getting back to the topic of Black August, so the last thing that I want to say or put out there is, what are ways that we as people can advocate for our political prisoners more than what we're doing now? What can we do? What are some of the things we can do? We know that we need to, first off, keep up with our political prisoners and see if they are being cared for once again through making sure that they have what they need in prison, if they have to have money on their books to get commissary. Medical treatment is high on the list in prison, to make sure that they're receiving the medical treatment that they need in the infirmary and so on and so forth. The brother that had called in first, Brother Abdul, he complained about the quality of the food, and that's something we're going to have to follow up on. Like you said, Brother Akbar, I wrote down the information. He's in prison in New York, and his grievances was about the food and the probation program. And he said that the food, the chicken had blood in it. And then he was talking about the hands-off policy, so they don't have to worry about the guards putting their hands on them or anything like that. And I wasn't quite sure what the Stick It Out program is. Does anyone know what that is, the Stick It Out program? Nevertheless, those were the complaints made by Brother Abdul, and we're going to follow up on that, Brother Abdul in New York. So we can go back to the lines and see if anybody have any questions.
I think I prayed it. Fred uses the closing. Not
so he closed out
for on Black Power Radio. I want you to always know that if you want to support Black Power Radio, man, you dial up the $77Bakers, and that's all capital letters, B-A-K-E-R-S, $77Bakers, for all of those that are numerically pure at heart and those that are alphanumerically pure at heart. You dial $77Bakers on your Cash App and drop it like it's hot. Don't give till it hurts, but give till it helps, and always put your footnote in and know that every little bit helps. We always cross the finish line, and we always hit it for the end zone. And wherever you may be, stop and shoot the three. It's on you, beloved. We got so much love with all that you said and all that you could say. Do you have any more for us right now, Sister Sparkle?
Sure don't. I just want to reiterate to please look up Black August, understand what Black August is about. Make plans to help a political prisoner, adopt a political prisoner. That would be a good idea. Adopt, if everyone adopt a political prisoner to care about and ask and inquire about and advocate for, that would be wonderful, to make sure that they are fine behind the walls until they get out, and speak up and speak out about our older political prisoners who are in there. Santiago Okoli, he's 84 years old. Come on, let my brother out. It's time. It's past time. Let him out. Let all of them out. Free them all. But if you want to get more information, go to Free Them All on Facebook and look up the different political prisons. And with all that being said, I want everyone to have a wonderful Sunday evening. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where sisters speak Sunday. Black Power.
Black Power to Sister Sparkle and all of those in Washington and in Chicago and Houston and all through Los Angeles and New York and all the way around. I might give Stephen Biko that last call. Just before we hit that Marvin Gaye button, let's see what Biko can close us out on. Close us out, Biko. Salaam alaikum and Black Power. Black Power.
Wa alaikum salaam, Black Power.
Black Power.
I want to say that this was a very, very enlightening show. It was action-packed. It was also filled with a great deal of information that each one of us need to actually take in, dissect it, nurture it, develop it, and keep passing this information on. These kind of shows are the reason why Black Power Hour Radio is the top show on Sundays and Mondays. It's the reason why we're actually right now moving towards simulcasting. We're actually moving towards reaching our people all over the country through this medium. So I want brothers and sisters to support Black Power Hour, and I want you, National Chairman, to give them the Cash App so that they can continue to donate so that we can keep Black Power Hour up and moving forward. Black Power.
Oh, Black Power, Black Power. Stephen Biko and all of us with Mr. Sparkle, the guests, all those wonderful people out there, and Black Power Radio Land. We know we said it all, but we all know that whatever we said, our beloved brother Marvin Gaye said it best. As-salamu alaykum, and Black Power.
Things are finally coming around. I got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we'll let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. If you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Nothing, nothing. Stand in your way. I want your
they do.
For the one that got away, won't be left for dead, yeah, the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey, the only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, pouring drugs in your land, guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, from a tell, bro. Don't need open any letters, hit this with a Comatell, bro. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Stand around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not at, just whips complain. Decided didn't fight, just blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence see the beat, only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, they just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck, so they wouldn't shoot their weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a sodder. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a sodder. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a sodder. Crips and blood, crips and thugs. Nobody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in L.A. Fed kids on a spoon, who's the hate? Chase the Panthers out the states. Whoa, one go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with him. CIA did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, that's the way our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together as we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you, no conform to authority. Cause under uniforms, human bonds I bleed to. No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray? I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody know now they wanna
sign
and touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated and I still advocate revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
And we're going to continue the process of claiming our identity and setting the standards for our people of color. We'll not be controlled by the old slave now. And it's convert racism. No other race of people, no Jews, no Indians, no Chinese, let an outside invader control their community. in a way that is harmful and poison our people and incorporate bias, prejudice, and bigotry in the standards and racial profiling and willfulness to terrorize our community and do psychological damage to our children every day and destroy our culture with their commercials and their exploitation of their TV programs. They facilitate tyranny. They have developed the standards of what they call terrorist actions. And so if you don't develop an economic program and promote it, if you don't organize your race with a political program and promote it, and if you don't get the conscious level to understand this hostile enemy is not turning back, and you try to promote racial harmony, you're out of your damn mind. You're out of your damn mind. You can't even do it on Sunday when everybody's supposed to be praying. It is time for an African revolution. It is time for an African revolution. Any people with dignity and respect would have a revolution of economics. The fundamental purpose of revolution means complete constructive change. We need complete constructive change. We are not just Africans in America, we are Pan-Africanism. Pan-Africanism means you understand that right across the water, nationwide, this world is full of people who look like you, from Brazil to Jamaica to Haiti to all of the Caribbean islands and the 54 nations of Africa and Hawaii and everywhere you look, you are. But you have not developed the technique to see yourself because you don't want to talk revolution. Because you don't want change within the solution. You want to concept with your soft heart, or can we all get along? You still listening to Rodney King. No, you can't have a commitment to develop your enemy army against you, your enemy police department against you, your enemy courtrooms against you. That's not an effective revolution. Your children must be trained leadership from birth to control their own, to achieve their own goals, to understand nationhood and a higher ideal of what nationhood is from their own standards that you're committed to develop. We're a dynamic people, but we have helped every race of people self ourselves. Right now, if you walk out your damn house, you're going to get some gas from a foreigner gas station. You're going to buy some Chinese food from a Chinese. You're going to take your cleaning, which you've been washing white folks people clothes all your life, to another race of people to wash your clothes who don't live in your community and don't love your children, and you're going to help improve their children's lifestyle. We got children graduating right now from all the colleges and institutions around this country and come back and have to work at Walmart because we ain't developed the corporations. We ain't opened these old buildings up. We studied been trying to buy a damn Ferrari, Porsche, and a Rolls Royce, a big house. And our kids come back from college like Carter D. Woodson put in the Miseducation of the Negro, with nowhere to go but to a white man to ask them for a job, which means that damn degree and that education don't mean nothing because that white man is going to hire his daughter, his nephew, his son. And after that, he's going to hire his people. Ain't nothing all right until black men and black women, Africans, participate responsibly in doing something for self. And if you're going to start talking economics, you got to talk about building a group to defend it. It ain't a white man to build a bank and don't have a guard at the door. It ain't a white man to build a mansion and don't put cameras on it first. It ain't a white man to build a nation and don't develop a defensive mechanism to keep people from taking what you build. Stop being scared of building a black army that could protect your community. And in, when it's time for self-defense, carry out their duties in self-defense with the logic of saving their mother, father, sister, cousin, auntie, and their community. We need to be baptized in economics, baptized in culture, baptized in a new political mindset with the logic of doing for self. You better act as the Jewish race and be aware of who you are, and constitute and build a constitution and develop a mindset that you don't need your enemy for you to reach your goal. The COINTELPRO said a job was to neutralize the rise of a black messiah and to neutralize black organizations from organizing and participating and working together. The injustice the FBI did alone give me the right to get on this phone tonight and teach respect to this group of people that have been so beat up, so lynched, so murdered, so raped. The determination for us not to fall any deeper into a coma is a blessing. And this is a period and a time where we don't have to take back door, apologize to nobody for our focus. You better get on the advanced liberation team and develop the mindset of self-help and start identifying yourself as an African and understand clearly that's all you need. And when you get to this crossroad, don't go right, don't go left, go straight. You got the right after all the hell you done took for 450 years to organize and discover the power in yourself. You are an empire in an empire.
Miss you, 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 mi was fighting with the devil's dog. Thank God I brought a helmet. The average American male skeleton shatters in my hand like cell blunts. Greatest tale ever told is a tale you could only live to tell once. Narcissistic and myself lust, and we wonder why Lord don't help us. Swerving on my way to hell drunk. All I'm seeing is a weak leader with some good slaves. That's a strong back with a frail front. Hell Trump. Snipe his ass from 1,000 feet with a nail gun. And his wifey too, I don't know the dame. She don't get the hunch, get a bell rung. The tallest human is the smallest giant. This what happens when you starve a lion. Before the battle, all is calm and silent. Cause a riot, crumbles all the walls in Zion. Western church, barrel spinning like the laundry's Ryan. My inner light could charge a large appliance without all the wires. When I met the alchemist, I taught him science through the art of rhyming. I'm a child predator, not a pedophile. I'm the alien offspring of a predator. Father traveled by warp speed through the nebula. Met mom, made a crossbreed from the sex with her. All these god genes are molecular. He just called me through the cellular. Stories of antiquity, see that bottom's a beam of light. That only children born with special psychic powers see at night. But in these modern times, in the doctor's eyes, if you speak of me, you're schizophrenic or have DID. If you know me now, you're the lunatic that imaginary people seek to meet. Pig shelling ACID, so I sold them like surgic disalamine. I decide what cryptic data mean. I gave sex advice to David Carradine. And my monster or a moon star. Old spirit in a new body. You're an old nigga in a used car. In the old earth is the new Mars. Girl sinning, sinning girls get to sing gals at the nude bar. I'm too charged, trying to buy my mama own planet with a huge jar. Ooh Lord, save me. Do a shroom, then I go to church. Ooh, my baby. Is that a pussy? You're an open purse. Told the nurse, check my scrotum first. While you down there, make sure that my boner works. I was created to throw the earth. God body, so I know my worth. Wrote a perp, then I broke the walls. Made my Marcus Garvey poster smirk. Took the tablets, I was Moses first. Grow a human from the holy dirt. Boil, boil, win the royal oil. Bring a chicken back to life, I know it works. All I see is birds, Michael Jackson with an open shirt. I had an epileptic seizure before I wrote this verse. They tried to tell me that my melanin mean that my soul is cursed.
While the jukebox Love your brother.